When I think of God answering our prayer for Frank, I just praise Him. He's blessed us so much, and He's answered so many prayers. And I just want us to always remember to praise Him. Praise Him for His goodness. Let's just look to Him in prayer for a minute. God, we praise You this morning. We praise You again for answered prayer. We praise You that You hear us when we pray. We praise You, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, this morning. God, Your heart is not willing that any should perish. We praise You that Your word says, but God demonstrates His love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We praise You for that today. We praise You, Lord Jesus. We praise You, Almighty God, for Your Spirit who has come to counsel and comfort and help and guide and direct us here. We praise You, O God, for saving souls. We praise You for helping those that are sick and weary and setting the captives free. We pray again for the weary and the sick and the addicted. O God, minister to them, we pray today. I praise You, Father, for our church family, but I praise You for the people and churches everywhere in our communities and this nation. And I pray that You would set us on fire with the Holy Spirit of God so that we would genuinely be salt and light for You. And I pray for the communities, the countryside, the city, the nation around us that doesn't have time for You, O God. I pray that their eyes would be opened to Jesus before it's too late. I pray that we would not be like the lukewarm church of Laodicea, like we saw last week, and we would be spewed out of Your mouth, and it would be too late for us too. I pray, O God, help us to be hot with the Holy Spirit. Help us to be on fire with the Holy Spirit of God. Help us to go into our workplaces and our homes and our factories and our farms and our schools and everywhere around us tomorrow on fire with the Spirit of God because we have been with Jesus. Oh God, forgive us when we have been lukewarm. Forgive us when we have looked more like the world than what the Word would ask us to be as followers of Christ. Forgive us, Almighty God, even for those times when we have sat in church and not really paid any attention to You. Maybe didn't even want to be there. Forgive us, O God. We have sinned against You. We need You. And so minister to us today, Father. You know our hearts. You know what's on our mind today. You know if we're born again. You know if people in the next church are born again, and the next and the next. And You know if our neighbors across the street are born again. And I pray, Almighty God, that You would open our eyes and give us one more opportunity to see Jesus high and lifted up and be born again into Your kingdom. I praise You this morning. Oh God, You've been so gracious, so patient, so loving. And so just speak to us today, Father. By Your Spirit, speak to us. By Your Word, speak to us. By Your Son, speak to us as we worship You. Glorify Your name here in this church and in the next, and glorify Your name until Jesus comes. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Last week, if you were with us, you remember We looked at the letter to the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, and we saw what Jesus thought about lukewarm tendencies and lukewarm churches. Jesus said to the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3:16, "Because you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth." And we saw last week the instruction that Jesus gave to the church at Laodicea. He said to repent and overcome, or it will be too late. And today's lesson is called Too Late. Do you remember that just about 3 months ago, we were worshiping with We were worshiping together like this, and Connie Denny's brother Wally was here with us, and the next day he went to work like always, and by 1 o'clock that day, that next Monday, he had had a heart attack and died and was gone. Do you remember that? We did Wally's funeral and lamented our friend no longer being here with us. This last Monday, Connie's other brother was in a bad accident just south of Wadena, and Connie's brother's son was killed just like that. He was 23. Connie's little brother, Chucky, is now in the St. Cloud Hospital, busted up from head to toe. Why do I tell you this? Because life can end in a moment. And for some, it will end in a moment. Maybe you, maybe me, maybe the next person. But some of us, our life will be snuffed out in a moment. And if we have never gotten right with Jesus through faith, through our surrendered faith in Christ, and we die, it will be eternally too late. I want us to think about that this morning. You might be thinking, yeah, but Jim, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but I go to church. Yeah, but this. Yeah, but that. Yeah, but the other thing. But if we've not got right with Christ, if we've not got right with the living God, and we close our eyes in death, it will be eternally too late for any other decisions to be made. And that's why I urge us and sometimes beg, do not delay to get right with God through faith in Jesus. Tomorrow could be too late. And so, in thinking about the Laodicean church, I had this idea too late on my mind, and then Monday or Tuesday, what day was it? Monday or Tuesday? Monday or Tuesday's events happened, the accident, boom, Connie's nephew is gone into eternity. 23, just like that, he's dead and gone. I had this too late in mind before I knew that happened, because I had this in follow-up to go along with the Laodicean church that we talked about last week. And so I'm thinking about Psalm 137 this morning. If you have your Bible, that's where we're going to go. Psalm 137 is a psalm written by those that were in captivity in Babylon. Now, I don't have time to explain that whole thing to you, but let me just say this. I think that you probably know the Old Testament well enough to know that God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And that was about 1450 BC. Then for 400 years they had what was called judges. You can read all about that in the book of Judges. And they were up and down. They were hot and cold. And God would chase them a little bit, rebuke them a little bit, bring them back. Then they'd sin and get chastised again a little bit. And then they had kings from about 1,000 BC on. They had kings. We know Saul and David and Solomon and all that. But by the time we get to 721 BC, the 10 northern kingdoms are carried away to Assyria because of their unbelief and because of their idolatry and because of their sin. God said, enough is enough. And 10 of the northern tribes went into captivity in 721 BC at the hand of the Assyrians after thousands of them perished. Then We had only the two tribes left around Jerusalem. We call them the tribes of Israel. And God again tried to bring them through the Isaiahs and through the Jeremiahs and through the prophets. Again tried to bring them back to Him. As they keep drifting away into idolatry and not keeping His Sabbaths and all these things, they continued to drift away, and He would try to continue to bring them back. And eventually, you know, as I know, in 586 B.C., Jerusalem was squashed. Thousands were killed. They'd been under siege for 2 years. Many of them starved to death. You can read all about that, including eating their own children because of the siege that was happening. And in 586, the last of them that were alive were carried away into Babylon, into captivity. I think you know those stories, so I'll not elaborate any more than that, but I want you to get the flavor of Psalm 137. These few people, most of the 12 tribes are now dispersed, dead, or in captivity someplace. And there is a few in Babylon, and here is the heart of somebody in Babylon that day, Psalm 137. Beside the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept. Why? As we thought of what we used to have in Jerusalem. We sat there by the rivers of Babylon in captivity. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. We sat and wept as we thought of Jerusalem. We even put away our harps, excuse me, hanging them on the branches of the poplar trees. Most of your Bibles will say the willow trees, whatever kind of tree it was. They had no more heart left in them to play the harps or to play their instruments. They were too much in anguish. And so they said, we just hung them up on the trees. We couldn't play them no more. We put away those harps, hung them on the branches of the trees, and our captors demanded a song from us. Our tormentors insisted on a joyful hymn from us. Sing us one of those songs of Jerusalem, they said. But how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a pagan land? And then the writer of this psalm, knowing they're in captivity, writes, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget how to play the harp. May my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I fail to remember you, if I don't make Jerusalem my greatest joy. Verse 7, the psalmist writes here, O Lord, remember what the Edomites did. You've got to read some of the Old Testament to know what he's talking about there, but you will know. Remember, Isaac had two sons, twins, Jacob and Esau. You remember that? Esau became the Edomites, and they were kind of at odds with each other. The Israelites and the Edomites were kind of at odds with each other. And at this time of destruction in 586, the sons of Esau were somewhere on the outskirts cheering on Nebuchadnezzar. Ha! Give them what they deserve, them folks in Jerusalem. And so this little phrase is about that. Oh Lord, remember what the Edomites did on the day the armies of Babylon captured Jerusalem. Destroy it, they yelled. Level it to the ground. Oh Babylon, you will be destroyed. Happy is the one who pays you back for what you have done to us. Happy is the one who takes your babies and smashes them against the rocks like they had done in Jerusalem. You see, my point here today, brothers and sisters, this writer, these people were in complete anguish of heart when they remembered what they had had in the Lord in Jerusalem, and now it was too late. Sitting on the banks of perhaps the Tigris or the Euphrates in captivity, remembering and longing again for what they had had in Jerusalem, longing for the blessings of God, and now it was too late. May I remind us today of God's great love for us. Okay? May I remind us of God's great love for us in so much that He sent His one and only Son to die for us. May I remind us today of God's kindness and His compassion and His willingness to forgive and His faithfulness and His patience. I like the way Peter describes it when he says, long-suffering. May I remind us of these attributes of God. But while I remind us of these attributes of God, let us not forget that God is just. God will judge. And when God says something, He means it. Last week when we saw of the Laodicean church, when Jesus said, He told John, write to the church at Laodicea, because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of your mouth. When God says something or Jesus said something, it is not an idle threat. It is because He means it. And so I remind us today that God is just and loving and kind and faithful and long-suffering, but He is also judge. And when we ignore Him and when we push Him off and when we disregard His decrees and His Son and His Spirit long enough, there will come a point in our time when something will happen, as it did there in Babylon, that it'll get to be too late for us too. And my heart today simply says, I don't want it to be too late for anybody. I don't want anybody in our midst, or our families, or our community for that matter, to close their eyes in death having never met Jesus, because it will be too late. I certainly don't want that to happen in my family, do you? And I don't want it to happen in our community. I don't even want it to happen in our nation. Because when we close our eyes in death, not having met Jesus, it will be eternally too late. They wept on the banks of the river that day because they were now prisoners of war because of disobedience. Think for a moment the similarities, the parallels here, even with our time today perhaps, of what had happened there. They wept because they were now POWs because of disobedience to God, and God allowed it. They wept because they no longer enjoyed religious freedoms. They no longer enjoyed the bounty and the blessings and the leadings of God Himself. They wept because God's presence, as you can read about this in Ezekiel, had left the temple, had left Jerusalem. They wept for what they had, and now it was too late. You know what, friends, in the Old Testament? The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out, and it means it. In the New Testament, the Bible says, we will reap what we sow, and it means that too. Listen to me, brothers and sisters, whether we're in the church or out of the church, we cannot live lives of sin and expect God to keep on blessing and keep on leading and keep on protecting if we're going to remain in sin. We can't expect Him to keep blessing us if we do. And it didn't happen for them either. Even in the Laodicean church, a few short years after Jesus was here, they figured, oh, we got everything all right. Remember what He said? Oh, you said you got the riches and you got this thing going for you, and you got that thing going for you, and we're just kind of taking it easy. We're just on easy street because we're Christians after all. And Jesus said, you become lukewarm, and I won't tolerate lukewarm. And He said to them, repent and be overcomers, or it'll be too late. Over and over and over, God blessed Israel and protected Israel. And over and over and over, they would be disobedient. Over and over and over, God sent warnings to them to repent and turn away from their idolatrous, disobedient ways. But like the Bible says, the proverbial hog returning to the wallow, they kept returning to sin and idolatry and the ways against God. And now they're in Babylon, and Jerusalem was no more. It was too late. Over and over, I have asked myself, and I wonder if you have too, and I have even prayed out loud to God what is happening to America. What is happening in the Middle East where life means nothing to so many? Little children's lives mean nothing to so many. I ask and I cry out to God, what is happening with our hearts? Have our hearts become like they did in Romans chapter 1, where you just turned us over and said, have it your way then? What is happening to us? God's heart is that none should perish. That's God's heart. He doesn't want anybody in hell. The Bible is clear about that. His heart is that none should perish. But God will judge sin. He will judge disobedience, whether we are in the church or whether we're out of it. These folks along the rivers in Babylon said that day, if I forget Jerusalem, let my right hand forget how to play the harp. You ask these people that play the instruments, if Tim or Mary or these other violin players or whatever, harp players, stop playing for 20 years, their hand wouldn't forget how to play the music. And that's what they were saying that day. Their hands normally wouldn't forget to play how to play the music, but they're saying, if I forget what I had, let my hand forget how to play the music. Have we forgotten the Word of God in America? Have we forgotten that God is just and He has blessed us and He is gracious and He is sovereign? Have we forgotten that He is judge? Let me close with this for us to think about for a moment. I wonder sometimes, is it too late for revival in America? Have you read about the revivals that happened in the Great Awakenings in America 150 years ago? I've read about them. Millions come to Christ because people were praying, because people were longing for an outpouring of God, because Christians were longing for their lost neighbors and their lost family and their lost co-workers to come to Jesus Christ. And the Great Awakening sprung forth. And change happened all over this nation. Hallelujah. And I wonder sometimes, is it too late for another one? I don't think it is if God's people will pray. Is it too late for me? Is it too late for you or any other individual to repent and get right with God through faith in His Son? And the answer is no, if we're still drawing breath. I think of my grandchildren, your grandchildren, our children. And I wonder, will there come a day when they will be just like those on the banks of the Euphrates in Babylon that day saying, oh, but what America once was, oh, but what we had, and now it's too late. Wondering if we had only, wondering if we had only really taken God's word literally and really applied it, wondering if we'd only lived and be led by the Holy Spirit instead of our flesh, wondering if we too got like the Laodicean church and didn't even know it and He spewed us out. I wonder sometimes if my grandchildren and your grandchildren will look back someday and say, just like the people of Jerusalem while they sat in Babylon, wonder if only, and now it's too late. I don't want it to be too late for anybody. Are you hearing me, friends? I don't want it to be too late for anybody, and neither should we in the church. God will only tolerate sin and lukewarmness and idolatrous unbelief about so long. He will only tolerate it about so long. And we go to Babylon, or He spews us out of the mouth. And it's too late. And so my point today is simply building upon what we saw last week. Don't let it get too late. You say, yeah, but Jim, I'm in church every week. So are the Laodiceans. Don't let it get too late for our grandchildren. You say, yeah, but Jim, I'm only one person. Well, one little old David defeated a giant called Goliath too. Don't let it be too late for this greatest nation on earth. God's people need to pray and not be lukewarm and not find ourselves in this generation or the next crying out at the rivers of Babylon someplace saying, if only we would have done such and such, but now it is too late. May we never. Or our children find ourselves in that predicament. Praise team, will you lead us in that last song again, please? Friends, while we're singing this song, I want you to really get serious with Jesus in prayer. You can do it here at the altar. I'll pray with you. There's others, pastors here. You can pray where you're at. But don't let it be too late to come to Christ by faith. Surrendered, genuine, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow Him. Faith in Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer, friends. And I want us to think this morning again, if today is it, am I ready? Have I surrendered to Jesus the Christ? Have I been born again? If today is the day, am I ready to go home to be with Him forever? Because if you're not sure, friends, make sure today. Cry out to Jesus. Be saved. Trust Him and walk with Him in newness of life. Father God, we come to You this morning with repentant hearts. Recognizing so many parables of the children of Israel and us today. Recognizing even too many similarities of the church at Laodicea and us today. And begging and asking, Father, for Your forgiveness for our lukewarmness. Forgive us for being wayward. Forgive us for being idolatrous and proud. Forgive us, O God, for doing what's right in our own eyes. Father, I pray for this nation. Revive Your church, O God, I pray. Revive people within the church, so out of the church and out of this nation will spring forth fires of revival that will burn in the hearts of Your people from coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, and let Your people be about the kingdom business that You've called us to be instead of always only about our own business. Let a new passion burn within the church, O God, for the lostness of our neighbors and our family and our co-workers and our government, and everybody else. Father God, we desperately need You. Pour out Your Spirit on us, O God, Your church. Help us to live for You in a new way. Help us to be steadfast in our faith, immovable, unwilling to ever denounce Jesus, unwilling to be silent about our faith, unwilling to just go along with the crowd and look like the world any longer. Draw your church out, O God, so we are genuinely salt and light and loving our neighbors into the kingdom. Oh, glorify your name again in this great nation, O God. Glorify your name in your church. Fill us with your Spirit so we will intentionally go out and love our neighbors right on into the kingdom. And if we're sitting in churches today, Father, having been there perhaps for decades, thinking all is well, and we have grown lukewarm, or worse yet, we're still ice cold. Wake us up, O God. Wake us up. As Brother Massey came here with a passion and a message, the message remains, wake up the church, the sleeping giant called the church in America, to the kingdom of God before it's too late. Wake up this body of believers, O God, and the other churches in our region. Wake us up to you and to your kingdom and to your will before it's too late. Go with us, challenged to be on fire for you. Go with us, longing to be born again if we've not been. Go with us and help us to be salt and light and your kingdom workers now and forever until Jesus comes or takes us home. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.